All right, good afternoon, and welcome to today's Town of Mount Pleasant Planning Commission meeting. Mr. Pat Rooney, please confirm we have a quorum present.
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. We do have, Mr. Bryson has an excused absence, and Mr. Wren has an excused absence. I know Elise will be, is running late, and Mr. Cutler is as well.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we revise the agenda to move item 5A after 5D is adjourned.
Okay, I'll second that.
Yeah, the reason being is we have a quorum present currently, but 5A, we may have
A larger group.
Larger group, and also we may have, may lose our quorum for 5A, so.
All right, everybody okay with, everybody understand that? Any further discussion? Mr. Pat Rooney said we need a two-thirds vote on that?
That's correct.
All right, so I'm gonna call for the vote.
I need a second, I'm sorry.
I was a second.
Oh, thank you.
All right, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so the motion carries with one, Mr. Pat Rooney. All right, so we've moved that. All right, so we have minutes approval. Mr. Chapman, you have a couple corrections?
Yes, sir. On September 16th minutes, page 13 of 13, first paragraph, I believe it's Ms. Campaign, move for approval, including staff comments. So I move for approval of the minutes, September 16th, with that correction.
All right, we have a motion to second. Any further discussion, corrections, or additions? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. September 23rd?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I have one suggested change. On page 8 of 18, last paragraph, the third line under Mr. Elliott's summing, he stated that, and strike out the word "the." He stated that moving the funds for Billy Swales Boulevard project. And I move that we approve the September 23rd minutes with that correction.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And Ms. Campaign is here. Thank you very much. All right, so correspondence, Kelly.
Yes, sir. You all received a copy of our council decisions. Obviously, this is a very lengthy meeting. I'll point out a few items of interest. All of the four items associated with the point development and the annexation, were all referred back to that committee. There were two items that were also deferred back to the planning committee, and they've got 60 days to take these up again. The one, the rezoning request at 1176 Mile Road to go to neighborhood commercial, and then also the bridge size PD amendment for the property up here next to Ragnall Bridge for the increased height and the critical line setback changes was deferred. And then the annexation zoning associated with the Oliver Brown property off of Highway 41 was deferred for up to 6 months. If y'all don't know, we received some correspondence stating that properties are not contiguous. We did find some plats that seemed to indicate that is the case. And that the family owns some property across 41 that is contiguous, so we may see an annexation zoning request in order to make the rest of it contiguous. And then finally, the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezoning associated with the property on Chuck Dolly Boulevard where SEED wanted to expand, Town Council denied both of those requests. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? All right, and then I'd like to take a moment here. We have a new planning commission member. His name is John McNeil. He took the seat that the expired term was Woods Flowers served for the last meeting after 8 long years of service. So Mr. McNeil joined us. Mr. McNeil, we welcome you. If you'd like to say where you're from, where you live, and a couple quick things. I know you're a military man, so we're very honored to have you serving on board and serving with the town. So if you take a quick second, I'll introduce you here.
Thank you. As Roy has indicated, my name is John McNeil. I'm a local attorney. I went to the Citadel, went in the military, but I've lived here basically for about 36 years on and off when I wasn't employed. It's a pleasure to be part of the community and to get back to the community. And I look forward to doing a good job.
Well, we're happy to have you, and we'll keep the, hopefully this first meeting will be a nice way to ease into it. You're not all going to be this short, I don't think. So, all right, well, thank you and welcome aboard. Kelly, is there any correspondence, public safety?
The only item of correspondence we received was for agenda item 4A, which was a sketch plan prohibited phase 7. It was deferred from one of your September meetings, and that item has been withdrawn by the applicant. They wanted an opportunity to go back to the HOA to discuss the questions that you all had about the amenity center. So.
Great. Okay, so any additional questions for staff? All right, this is time for general public statements. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to the commission on any of the items tonight? I know there is one public hearing. Two public hearings tonight that will have special items. We'll have a time for public hearing and take comments. But if there's other items you'd like to speak on, now is the time to address the commission, as those will not be public hearings. So is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak during general correspondence? All right, seeing none, then we'll move right on. So item 4A has been withdrawn by the applicant. We move 5A to be after 5D. So our first item discussed this evening is 5D, which is a preliminary plat for Shum Drive. Mr. Bernard is giving our presentation. Welcome, sir.
Hi, how are you all?
We are good.
This project was on the agenda last month, so you probably remember it, but it's very similar to the adjacent project as well, which is the same developer. It is a request to have the two lots here, two single-family residents. It's 0.16 acres, so obviously a small lot. Last month, one of the commission comments was to provide a sidewalk, not only fronting these lots, but also running the adjacent pond, if you remember, heading back towards Coleman. And they have provided that. Comments on this one, this middle. Preliminary plat items, there was a few things missing: the certificate of purpose, the application for plat improvements, and the legend illustrating the typical features of the property, and also a supplemental report was provided to the applicant. Setbacks on the front rear are 10 feet, side 5, and the adjacent properties have some trees near them that have incorrect protective zones, and those, if they're going to be shown, need to be shown correctly.
Kenny, can you pull up the plat while you're going through your list?
Sure.
Help us out while we're...
Yeah, I apologize. I should have indicated.
There we go.
Yeah, I apologize. The location, rather, is... Southern Seasons is, of course, this building here. So these buildings, Front Shum Drive, and then the pond I'm referring to is right here. Their sidewalk will start roughly here and then go to this location. And again, the same developers doing these here. So this whole frontage Shum Drive will have a sidewalk there.
So they worked out I know the last time we had this 2 months ago, they worked out an agreement on what the sidewalk was going to be, how far it was. I know there was some discussion back and forth.
Yeah, the current submittal, this submittal does show the sidewalk fronting the pond, which was what was in question last month. So yeah, they have provided that, which I think was in your motion last month. The adjacent project needs to be shown for context. Lot 12, basically the property line. Of course, these are in yellow will be two lots, and then two lots over here as well. But basically, there's two drives that split this property line, and as their radiuses go out of the right of way, there may be some conflicts or combined driveway for a portion there. So, just trying to see how that's going to work out. With this being single-family against single family, there's no buffer required, and a street tree species needs to be provided per the urban corridor requirements along these properties, three canopy trees per 100 feet, and they just need to pick a consistent tree species to go along with the adjacent property, which, you know, again, is the same builder, so we're just waiting to get that selected. That's the presentation.
Okay. Are there questions for staff?
To continue the presentation, so here's actually the preliminary plat.
There you go.
And the sidewalk extension right here past the property line, past the pond, and they were also showed a 5-foot proposed sidewalk in front of the lots as well. And here is a zoomed-in version of that. And then for drainage analysis, the adjacent property has incorporated these two lots in their drainage analysis. And so to capture water in the front of the lots, they're going to be captured in infrastructure in this general direction. And then to capture rear lot runoff, it's going to be directed into the existing pond.
All right. Additional questions for staff at this time? Yes.
Mr. Bernard, I think I asked earlier about the trees, that specifically palmetto type trees that were in the earlier plans that we went through and approved. Are those going to be put back?
I'm not sure. The two fronting these two lots, at least, were basically, one of them was in the sidewalk, I believe. The other was right at the edge of the sidewalk, so they will or have maybe possibly already removed them now. Whether the developer's going to replant those somewhere on site, I'm not sure. I mean, it's not, they wouldn't be a protected species as far as the ordinance goes. They weren't the sable palms, they were all jelly palms or pindo palms, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe the developer can answer one of these.
That's fine. Do you want
me
to answer that?
No, we'll yeah. Thank you. Okay, additional questions from staff at this time? All right, would the applicant like to come forward and address staff comments and issues and anything else that's hanging out there? Mr. Donato?
We're here for any questions, but we have no problem with any staff comments, and we'll have them addressed.
Name and address?
Chris Donato, 617 Hamlet Square Lane.
All right, so you're fine with all staff comments and Eddie's comments about the few things that were missing, the details about the tree protection and all that different stuff.
That's no problem.
How about the driveway? How are you handling the driveway issue?
The driveway, we actually have too big of a radius on our driveway. It needs to be a little bit less aggressive. Okay.
And Mr. Chapman's question about the palms?
Well, I haven't told you this yet, but you'll be seeing a plan for a tree for all that whole section. We're going to do, instead of, it'll be a little bit confusing, my firm didn't do the other lots, but we took over the whole planting plan, so you'll see one planting plan instead of separate, so it can be consistent.
And the trees, I think I heard somebody in the audience say...
He does speak up a little bit, but so I'd like to answer
him and announce myself, but I am one of the applicants, so I should be able to
Your name and address again?
George Revis, 221 UG Street, downtown. All of the existing ponds on site have been excavated just to get out of the way of demolition. They're all removed and in the back of the site now, and we plan on reusing every single one of the ponds.
Right. That's what I wanted to get.
And they're all just in a huge pile, sort of.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Any additional questions for the applicant this time? All right. Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission, Mr. Chapman?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve item 5B with all staff comments.
All right, is there a second? All right, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We are on item 5C, which is a request to annex and zone Pepper Tract. Who's handling that one tonight? Hello there.
I'm all in here. This is a request to annex and zone the two parcels, PDCD, that's Planned Development Conservation Design District. And you've seen a few of these trickle in probably every month. So density in the Pepper Tract PDCD is limited to 1 acre per unit. 1 unit per acre, I'm sorry. as additional parcels have annexed, the overall number of dwelling units in the PD district increases by one unit for each acre annexed. A minimum of 50% open space is required, so with each parcel that annexes, required open space acreage also increases. The addition of this 7.38 acres comprising these subject parcels will allow the overall number of units in the Pepper Tract PD to increase by 7.38 dwelling units, which will take it to 359 units. And it will increase the required open space by 3.69 acres for a total of 179.787 acres. In July, when we had an annexation of a couple of these parcels, we requested an overall open space plan from the applicant. And between the time that you've gotten your staff report and tonight, we have received that open space plan. Staff hasn't had a chance to review it yet, but we do have that in our possession. And last, a total of 313 lots have been approved for Tupelo at Pepper Plantation. The final plats for phases 1 through 4 of Tupelo have been reported for a total of 231 lots. Phase 5 and Tupelo Row have had preliminary plat approval for a total of 82 lots. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, questions for staff? All right, I don't have any either. So is the applicant here to make a presentation, or I don't see Tim?
No, he was not contacted us.
Okay. All right, are there any additional follow-up questions? This is pretty straightforward. It seems like Pepper's comes in as long as, when will staff be reviewing that report? In the next 30 days, something like that?
Yeah, definitely. We'll take a look at it.
So if we were to have a Pepper Plantation item on the agenda next month, we would have that in our hands.
Yes, we'll give you an update.
Captain, you fine with that? Because I know you've
I'm fine with that, and I applaud the developer for getting it to you, because that was something we've been asking for.
Yes.
And concurred, so appreciate that. And can we open?
Well, that's right. This is a public hearing. All right, is there anyone here in the audience that would like to speak on this public hearing? We have a public hearing on this item tonight. Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, then I'll close the public hearing. Are there any follow-up questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to recommend approval of item 5C with all staff comments.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Any follow-up discussion? All right, seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We are on item 5D. Request approval of street name Schneider Circle for 6 Mile Marketplace. Meet you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought we did it four. I thought we did 5D and then we were doing.
No, we did 5C. That was on 5D.
Yeah, we're on 5D right now.
Then we'll, let me go back to that.
Right. So we're on right brain for the sketch plan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so for orientation, here we have the subject parcel, Horseshoes Bluff Road, Rifle Range Road right here. And here's the preliminary plat for the Rifle Range subdivision. We have 15 detached single-family homes subdivided off of the new cul-de-sac called Tranquility Road. There is an open ditch in this location right here called the Isaac German Canal. There's two ponds being proposed to be developed. There is an HOA-maintained buffer, and within the buffer there is an HOA-maintained pedestrian trail. For staff comments, there were some general comments about not providing some checklist items, and also a supplemental staff report was provided to the applicant as well. Site and landscape comments, there's a 50-foot road buffer. It needs to be identified with stipulations. Planning Commission is not able to approve tree removals on lots. The Commission can only approve those removals relating to infrastructure. Thus, every tree outside the buffer has significant fill and other grading impacts on them which cannot occur. As well as most of these trees are related to the proposed pad elevations, it would appear that if the pads cannot be lowered, that most will need to be sought for removal, and a sidewalk connection to the roundabout should be provided. So during sketch plan, It was discussed that the applicant needs to connect the proposed cul-de-sac to the pedestrian trail, but under the sketch plan approval motion, a connection from the pedestrian trail to the roundabout was not needed. The applicant has also provided an SCDOT access exhibit, and they have gained approval for their access location from DOT. Here's an open space exhibit showing the proposed open space around the two ponds. Here are the proposed trees to be removed for the infrastructure. And then, how do you go back? And then here are the trees. Here are the trees to be removed for the lot development.
Which is not under review by planning commission, correct?
Right. And then for drainage purposes, they are required to retain water on site over a 24-hour period. And to do that, they are proposing to develop two ponds. This pond will capture water in this area and direct it to the open ditch in the back. And then this pond will collect runoff in this general area and take it to the back in the open ditch. And that concludes the presentation.
All right. My initial questions are on the drainage. This is a wet piece of property. It has been for years, and I would imagine after last month's rainstorm, it's even more wet now. Staff is fine with the drainage elements.
We've discussed with the applicant that we will be also looking at the roads design to ensure it's at proper elevation, and the grading pads will be at proper elevation to ensure minimal flooding does occur on this specific parcel.
Minimal. I was with you when you said minimal flooding. So
flooding a couple weeks ago. We're very familiar with the conditions of the drainage system. This Isaac German, it has a long history of different various projects with the county. It's about a 2,000-acre basin. It all is collected and comes down to those culverts there. Beyond that, it goes through a smaller channel and then into some wetlands, and there's problems with excavating the wetlands out and being able to open up the capacity to service all 2,000 acres. So a lot of the water does collect in that channel.
That channel you're talking about is the western side of the property or the top of this area?
Top, yes, sir. It's a very
That's a drainage easement all the way down?
Large channel, yes, sir. That's Charleston County's drainage easement. They maintain that.
So that's not a buffer. That's a drainage easement, and that'll be untouched or undisturbed or
that'll
be maintained by the county?
That drainage easement is there to allow their equipment and maintenance to be able to access both sides of the channel. And it's protected. Nothing can be built in there without the county's permission. So they can't build a shed, they can't build pools without getting the county of Charleston to approve that. So it is a county drainage easement. But what Shane was telling you about is we're going to ensure that the proposed road is equal to or greater than the Rifle Range Road elevation. If water does back up, spill, it will release across Rifle Range Road, and there would be very little ponding in the pond itself. This is in a flood zone elevation, so there really is no concern with structural damage. All the houses will be elevated. So the only concern is, you know, the road being flooded temporarily if there is a problem with that connection. But yeah, we're very familiar with that, and so are the engineers.
How does that affect the path that under the Planning Commission last month or 2 months ago took a lot of discussion on those wandering paths? Are we going to have, if there's real wetland, anything we can do about putting the elevation of those paths up, or is that not a concern?
It's an asphalt path, I believe. We typically don't have minimum elevations for pedestrian sidewalks or pathways. We just want to make sure the water is able to crown properly and the water doesn't collect the bird bath and make sure it's constructed properly, but as far as flooding, not really concerned with kind of the pedestrian path.
All right, that helps me. Additional questions for staff or follow up with Kevin, our drainage expert?
I have that question about the sidewalk issue.
Okay, all right, for the applicant?
For the applicant.
Okay, then is the applicant here? If you'd like to come on up and give us what information you'd like to give us, name and address, you know the routine, and then we'll entertain some questions for the commissioners.
Chris Haynes, 665 Cornerstone, Cornerstone Court, Charleston. A landscape architect with Hussey Gate Bell here in Mount Pleasant. Happy to answer any questions you may have. Also have our engineers here if we get to drainage.
All right, Mr. Chapman, go ahead from the Haynes.
And I apologize because maybe we didn't make ourselves clear enough when this was before us before. I think originally the staff had talked about a sidewalk from the end of the cul-de-sac to tie into the crosswalk on Rifle Range Road near the
roundabout.
I think we conceded that the walkway or path that was planned by your firm was if you could tie into that from the crosswalk would be sufficient to satisfy that staff comment about taking it from the
entrance.
And as a result, somehow that was not conveyed and may have been our fault, but I think the discussion that we had all along, and I seem to recall concurrence by the developer to go ahead and do that. So I guess you're back to see, for us to make an affirmative motion that be done. Is that correct?
Correct. And just to speak to the sidewalk connection there, from looking back at the minutes, it looked like that stipulation had been removed from the approval. The developer is fine with making that connection that you're talking about to the crosswalk, and we were going off of that from the minutes, and it looked like that was part of the approval.
And again, I apologize if we didn't do a good enough job with our motion, but I remember a lot of discussion about how to do that.
Yeah, I recall that pretty well, and I could be making mistakes, but I believe our discussion really centered on we were fine with relieving the requirement of taking the sidewalk or connecting the path all the way from the main entrance, mm-hmm. but we still wanted some type of tie-in so they could go through the cul-de-sac and out, and then, so I mean, really, whatever is the most logical, mm-hmm. efficient way to tie in your purple line over to a sidewalk on that, what used to be Dead Man's Curve, is now a roundabout, well-received.
And that's more 100% agreeable to that.
So you're fine with your
that is. And we had one of the preliminary drawings had it going to the crosswalk right there, where that crosswalk comes across and it hits the sidewalk on there. So
I think that would be fine. If you're amenable with that, I think we're fine. You have anything else, Mr. Chapman?
No, I just want to make sure whatever we do tonight,
we do it right this
time. We do it right. So we're probably going to need some staff help to make sure we do what the developer has agreed to do and what I thought they agreed to do before. So.
All right.
Is there a particular connection? Because there is two crosswalks showing near the roundabout. There's one there, and then there's one also as well.
Well, I think we're talking about tying it into the path, to the purple path, somehow to the sidewalk. So if you can show us where the purple line already connects to the sidewalk that's on Rifle Range.
Right. Where is the sidewalk on Rifle Range Road?
There is. It's on the bottom side.
I think there is. Yeah.
It's going to be the bottom side of the roundabout.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So we wanted, I presume, to the southernmost crosswalk to get, that's the most expedient way to get to that sidewalk.
Yeah.
Appears to be.
Yep, then we would come to this crosswalk. There's a sidewalk here down this end of the roundabout that terminates here, and it comes around the roundabout that way, on that side.
Okay. I think the applicant is fine with what...
I think he is, too. Yeah. I just want to make sure when we finish with this that there's no question in anybody's mind, and that's why I'm looking for the proper wording, because I thought we had the proper wording.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Haynes. All right. So then if commission... when whoever is making a motion would probably, Mr. Pagliarini, help me here, or staff, entertain either adding a staff comment or interpreting the comment of connecting the, what's the purple line called? Is that the walking pedestrian trail? Incorporating the pedestrian trail to connect to the sidewalk.
What's the crosswalk?
The crosswalk currently in place. Is that fine, Mr. Pagliarini? Does that make sense?
Right,
as shown on this exhibit?
Right.
The submittal, that's part of the submittal, right?
That's the preliminary plat.
Okay, so if that's what's been presented and agreed to by the developer. So are there any additional questions for staff on this? Mr. Bremer?
One, this is probably less of an issue now during that conversation, but there was a comment about who would maintain the pedestrian trail along Martin Green. I know we're not doing the long trail, but we still have a portion of that. So that's the little question. We all need to maintain that.
Depicted on the plat, it looks like HOA would be maintaining the pedestrian trail.
And if I recall, that was part of in the sketch plan. We asked that question.
I just wanted to in the
head there. No, that's fine. They had said the HOA would take responsibility.
You want to make that a contingency, right? So when they get back, you know, up to the next stage.
It's the state is privately owned trail, and they will be responsible for the maintenance.
Yeah, that would be that. Okay, so then what is the pledge of the commission? Mr. Bremer? Would you like to make a motion? Just, you have one item there?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
I'm happy to second one, but I know Mr. Chapman. So
that's fine, Mr. Chapman.
Does a better job of doing that.
I don't know about that, but I'll try.
I'll try.
I make the motion that we approve item 5D, as in Delta, with all staff comments, and number one, that the pedestrian trail connect to the crosswalk, the southern crosswalk as presented in the applicant's, I think it's shown as sheet 1 of 2. And second, as agreed to by the developer, and number two, that the pedestrian pathway as shown on sheet 1 of 2 in the presentation be maintained by the HOA.
All right, we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Is everybody understanding of the motion? Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So we are on our next item, which is 5A. Since we moved it, and Mr. Malone,
yes.
You had a comment?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recuse myself on this item.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll make that duly noted. Lynette? All right. So you still have a quorum, Mr. Pagliarini?
Yes.
All right. So let's move forward on 5A, which is a request to annex in Zone AB area-wide. This is a public hearing.
This is a 0.26 acre portion of a piece of property. I'm going to go to probably best see it on the zoning map. When a discrepancy was noted by staff while doing comments for a submittal for the adjacent property, it's actually this parcel and the parcels in the middle, I'm very familiar with the proposed point development. So this is all one parcel. This corner piece that's shown in orange was annexed and zoned area-wide business in 2014. It was just over an acre. When we received the development plan for the point, so the balance of this property as well as these two parcels on the opposite side of the street, this portion was not included in their development plan or their zoning request, but it was shown on their sketch plan, their conceptual plan, but it was shown as a 1.32 acre parcel. And so that left where this sort of dashed yellow line is, it left a little strip, just over a quarter of an acre, that were, had not been part of either annexation or zoning request. So it left that little strip as just being in unincorporated Charleston County. So
all we're talking about is that one little yellow strip right here, bringing that in, the same as the gold spot that's already there.
Yep. So an area-wide business. The applicant did submit an exhibit that shows exactly how that strip is located, or where it's located, how it's configured. The request is to annex it and zone it area-wide business. Comprehensive plan recommends commercial uses. It's consistent with the piece next door. And my understanding is that the entire 1.32-acre portion right here will be developed as a whole. It will be separate from the rest of the point development, but it... it will sort of be an outlet.
But it'll merge in with this other piece, this one on the corner.
Right. So it's more or less it's a cleanup.
Okay. All right. Questions for staff? All right. Is the applicant here and like to make a presentation?
Randy Cooper, 109 River Landing, Daniel Island, and just want to say that it's just a cleanup. We oversight it all for clean out of bite.
All right. Are there questions for the applicant on this issue? All right. Thank you very much. We'll have you back up if there's any follow-up. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience that has signed up or would like to speak on this issue? This is a public hearing for the zoning request. Last chance. Anyone here? Okay. So I'll close the public hearing. There any follow-up questions for staff or the applicant? Seeing none, I'll look for what is the pleasure of the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve item 5A.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We are off that item. Mr. Malone is back. So we are on our street name 5E, request approval for street name. It's Snyder Circle.
Snyder Circle is a street name. This is for a six mile mixed use development. 6 mile road between Highway 17 and Sweetgrass Basket Parkway. This is Harris Teeter, Hobby Lobby. So there's mixed use development here. Some of the buildings, kind of like a parking lot, but some of the buildings front that and not any other street, so they're required to name it. And they've selected Snyder Circle and has been approved by 911.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of Snyder Circle.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion?
I have one question.
Yes.
Why circle?
Because it is going to be a loop,
okay.
I believe. If and actually, no, I have a site plan.
Yeah,
there you go.
Is, yeah.
So it is a loop.
Good question. All right. I'll call for the vote then. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Our last item is a discussion item, which is no action is required tonight, but we do want to have this. This was brought up from staff and involved planning committee. So, Kelly?
Sure. Chapter 155 of the Town Code of Ordinances is our land development regulations, and I'll refer to those as the LDRs. These regulations adjust requirements for subdivision of property and include design and construction standards for blocks and lots, streets, sidewalks, easements, etc. Also included are regulations concerning various subdivision-related submittals, including sketch plan, preliminary plat, and final plat. Section 155.025, final plat submission and review, provides an appeal process for final plats. Any party of interest may appeal either the approval or the denial of a final plat by staff to the Planning Commission. Then Section 155.047, Blocks and Lots, provides the Planning Commission, quote, in cases of extreme hardship, i.e. unavoidable topographic constraints, the authority to allow adjustments to the criteria of this particular section. In recent years, Planning Commission members have seen several requests for adjustments to blocks and lots criteria, including such items as adjustments to the lot depth to width ratio requirement and subdivision off of an access easement. Aside from the two mentioned just now, no other sections of the LDRs provide for an appeal process from the requirements contained in that section. The intent of this discussion is to determine whether an appeal process should be added to one or more sections of the LDRs. Issues related to two specific street standards have recently come to the attention of planning staff, and I'll describe those in a little more detail in just a sec. At its July 2015 meeting, the Planning and Development Committee of Council had a brief discussion on this topic. Specifically, they discussed the provision in 155.048 pertaining to the length of dead-end streets. The committee agreed that this should be further discussed by the Planning Commission. The section I just referenced, 155.048A5A, limits the length of dead-end streets that are designed to be so permanently to 800 feet. However, for property with a lower density zoning district, so CCRR, R1, and R2, a maximum length of 1,000 feet is allowed, provided not more than 25 lots have sole access to the dead-end street. This requirement has existed in the LDRs for a number of years. Based on staff's research, the rationale appears to be based on safety and service delivery. From a planning perspective, long roads with no interconnectivity would not be considered good planning. Staff has recently received inquiries pertaining to the Trident Academy parcel in the Wakandaw East subdivision, and there was a map provided in your staff report. The property is approximately 1,200 feet in depth and is zoned R1, low density residential district. If this property is to be redeveloped and a small residential subdivision created, there's no way to provide interconnectivity to adjacent parcels. Then the parcel at the end of Emma Lane is similarly situated. It is also about 1,200 feet in depth. It was annexed and zoned townhouse district earlier this year. Due to existing development surrounding it, as well as protected wetlands adjacent to the parcel, there are no opportunities for interconnectivity with that piece either. Section 155.048A5B requires all permanent dead-end streets to have a turnaround or cul-de-sac with a diameter of 80 feet. This has presented a challenge in the urban corridor overlay district. Fee simple single-family lots are permitted, but the urban corridor overlay district regulations do not provide for an alternative to the land development regulation standard. It should be noted, however, that traditional suburban cul-de-sacs run counter to the intent of the urban corridor overlay district. Section 155.048 also includes street construction standards and other requirements. If an appeal process is added to the LDR chapter as a whole, then staff would specifically recommend that the appeal process should not apply to street construction standards. As noted above, 155.047 already includes an appeal process. The threshold requirement for an appeal is extreme hardship, i.e. unavoidable topographic constraints. And so that leads us to several questions for discussion or consideration.
Kelly, can you put those questions up on the, do we have that on as a slide or not?
No, but I can throw that up there in just a sec.
Okay.
I did want to point out that the purpose is not to debate the merits of the two parcels that I pointed out in staff report. They were just provided for reference. So the questions are, should the LDRs be amended to allow an appeal process for all requirements and standards contained in the chapter? So if the answer to that is no, then should the LDRs be amended to allow an appeal process for the standards in 155.048, which is the street section? If so, would the appeal process apply to all standards or only certain standards? And should the LDRs be amended to allow an appeal process for standards in other sections, like sidewalks, easements, addressing system, etc.? And then with the appeal process that's currently specified in the blocks and lots section, should that be amended to provide a threshold standard other than extreme hardship? If so, is it appropriate to borrow language from the Board of Zoning Appeals requirements for a variance? I provided those in the staff report, and I'll put those up on the screen in a second. I won't read through them. And then is it appropriate to also provide the Planning Commission with the ability to add relevant conditions to an approval of a deviation from a land development regulation standard? So those are just kind of some questions to get you all started thinking.
All right, so let me lead off as a summary to make sure I'm on the same page. And I've got a question from Mr. Pagliarini also, but and I do want to caution everybody, this is just a discussion. We don't want to bring up the merits of these two projects that were brought up that are not on the agenda, but he's used as examples. But Mr. Pagliarini, so if I hear this right, if I did my homework right, we don't have an appeal process for basically a piece of land that doesn't work because of the land development regulations. So if we have a piece of property and it's supposed to be so long of a road, it's supposed to be a turnaround, or it's supposed to be interconnectivity, and we can't do it, it's basically undevelopable, and the applicant can't even come in front of BOSA because BOSA doesn't hear land regulation appeals. Is that correct?
Right. What would happen is the next step would be turnaround. And I think the idea in the process is to provide some sort of appeal mechanism to at least avoid that.
Right. But trying to think like a developer, if we open ourselves to an appeal process to get away with, we don't like the sidewalk requirements, or we don't like the buffer requirements, or we don't like all these other things, then before you know it, our agenda is going to be packed with all of these appeals on the land development regulations that we have good planning and we have these regulations in place so that we want them to follow. So I would be moving, at least where my stance is kind of, I don't have a problem with the extreme hardships or the extreme, I don't even want to try to say topographical piece of land. Those are the ones we are going to see, because that's what's left in Mount Pleasant is the more extreme hard parcels. So I'm fine with coming up with some appeal process, but I don't want to write an appeal process. I need staff or legal to come back with some type of thing that makes reasonable sense, but I am not in favor of opening up an appeal process to get away with road conditions, to get away with sidewalks. And I know Chapman would kill me if we came up with anything like that, but it's buffers, it's all the way through. But we see these things in the village all the time, what we call the Indian village, where they're carving up, they're buying three lots and turning it into six. Well, some of them don't work because of the side of the road that they're on, but some of them do make sense, but then they come back in front of the planning commission. So it makes sense to do something like this, but boy, I want to peel the onion back very carefully here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the process that we need to come up with to write something like this. I sure can. Staff or legal?
No, the writing of it is not, I mean, that's the part that we'll deal with. I think it's more a direction of what is this going to encompass? Is it all encompassing, which you're saying no, or should it be limited? And I think that's the basic direction that we need. Because the writing part of it is not what you need to worry about.
Well, then let's just work our way down, Elise.
I think you framed this really well, and it is an interesting question of how do you, because I can think of some examples that have come before us where we're constrained by the language. But we don't want to open it up and make it just a free-for-all. I completely agree. It has to be constrained. I'm not sure. I'm still pondering that idea of using BOSA's language, but it doesn't feel totally applicable because it's really kind of looking at property uses. And the examples I can think of have more to do with the form. And so I was thinking of something more like extreme hardship of topographic constraints, public safety, and preservation or enhancement of the natural historical or historical characteristics. Maybe you have to spell out flood protection. I'm thinking of examples that we came up with where we've talked about, like, should the road be permeable, and that's, you know, allowable.
Oh, like the one we did on for John Papuka's development.
Yeah.
In what was it, Third Avenue or something like that, where we change. That's an excellent example. We changed the road condition requirement, or we allow a change road because of all the significant oak trees. Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a constraint where there's a buffer opportunity, particularly when there's some of these, some of the language is so prescriptive that if the purpose of the exception is to enhance really specific things, then those are the ones that came to mind, was safety or a natural characteristic. Or when we talked about the old village ones, we made an exception when they were trying to preserve the building and the block pattern of existing use. So that was kind of like the, again, I don't know exactly what the language is, but that feels like there should be a little bit more flexibility than what is in the rules. But those are just my top of my thoughts on it.
All right, Mr. Chapman.
Well, I've got several things. Number one, at the last meeting, when we were asked to look at two subdivisions, and the reason we were looking at them was because there was a hardship. Well, I can tell you, One of them may have been a hardship, the other one wasn't a hardship, in my mind. I think we ended up approving both of them. I think I voted against the other one. But the word hardship has become a non-defined entity. And hardship for those subdivisions just wasn't there. Now, one of them made sense. The other one, to me, didn't make sense. So I don't like the word hardship. Second, in some cases, not in all, and the one dealing with the Emma Drive, and I know we're not discussing the things that happened, there are some issues there where whoever developed the area initially, they made a mistake. We didn't make a mistake. They made a mistake. And in the event there is an ability for us to come in and say, oh, that's too bad. We're gonna help you, and we're gonna correct your mistake, original development, not the one who's got the property. Whereas if they stuck to 800 feet, we get a little more clear space, a little more open space within the town. So I'm not, and finally, the issue of the length of the road is spelled out in the transportation engineer's handbook and why you use that plan. And so in the case of Seven Drive, they can go 800 feet and then the rest. Unfortunately for whoever is the new owner, they're just going to have to live with what the plan was initially. So I'm a little bit hesitant to start picking out areas under the Planning Commission's responsibility and doing, you know, just, it's essentially a do-over from somebody else's problem. The area that Ms. Campaign talked about, we went ahead and approved that plat. How did we do that? For the, I guess, the sketch plan or whatever.
You mean with the road back on 3rd Avenue?
Yeah. How did we do that?
It was a plan development ordinance, the one on 4th Avenue, which that was how they were able to modify the street standard.
So there are ways without changing.
Well, there's still, I mean, PDs are only qualified for PDs by the size of the land and
minimum 3 acres.
Yeah, so you could have some instances where the PD wouldn't give them the relief.
Right.
But the other thing I would like to add, Mr. Chapman, to the discussion is just because somebody has the ability, if we grant them an appeal process for some regulation, we seem that the applicant, excuse me, seems to be unfair. That doesn't mean it's still going to pass. I mean, we've turned down many of appeal type of issues that just said, sorry, we don't agree with you.
I don't know if we've turned down.
But, all right, Ms. Malone?
I agree with the lease, and I think there should be a limited opportunity for some flexibility. However, I love the way staff framed it here. I agree with Mr. Chapman. Hardship is just such a broad term.
And you're a former voter.
As a former voter member, I love the fact that they framed the BOSA language here. Defining hardship would be incredibly helpful under current circumstances, and if we were to entertain the idea of having some sort of appeals process in the future. So I'd love to see us define it if we're going to head down that road.
Okay. Mr. Brunner?
Yeah, I generally agree with what's been said so far. Two things. I think how we're getting at something that's important for me is, are there mechanisms to provide some relief outside of the appeals process? I think there are. I think we use those. And so I don't want to take that away or minimize that in the appeals process. I think, you know, that's, we should exercise our judgment on a case-by-case basis if there's a need. I think any appeal should be very limited. And I think it really should be limited to the point of, can that land be used for development? Not for private development. Again, how we're going here. point, you know, that needs more green space, so be it. We shouldn't be making allowances to allow a particular type of development to happen. But clearly, if someone owns property, if it's undeveloped, because the guidelines, then...
Some relief.
Just for property rights, we ought to deserve to have some developed rights, but it's very limited, I view.
Mr. McNeil, our newest member. This might be a lot of new stuff, but still want your input on what you're seeing in front of us tonight.
I have some issues always with the field, to some extent, even though we can't lose bodies. As you alluded to, initially, what may happen is that we may have many issues dealing with original plots and zoning and whatnot, and then you will have as many appeals, but, you know, some basic questions would be, who's the appeal to? We rule on something and then we will appeal back to us. The other thing is, to some degree, the bylaws of the commission provide that we can reconsider issues dealing with zoning, comprehensive plan, and plats. Quite frankly, if I was to appeal, you see the reasons why you can reconsider. I can certainly change a fact that would constitute enough for me to come before the commission for reconsideration. It may not be defined the same way, but certainly reconsideration is where someone can appeal or you should change a fact. Whether that's valid or not, at least if they did, you know. I don't think there's any problem with the level of accepting. If you're going to do an appeal process, then you would certainly have some exceptions to that appeal. Certainly, standards, construction standards that we talk about, the staff is moving out, I'm not going to change those. Finally, I think that I have a problem with extreme hardship, the fact that it's not defined. What you have is an example, but it's just one example. There are certainly other reasons that constitute extreme hardship. So I think you have to define that, we probably should define that anyway. Whether it's an appeal process or not, I think that should be defined, because otherwise the applicant, the developer, whoever, really doesn't know what extreme hardship means. And extreme hardship for you may not be the same, as Mr. Chapman has already pointed out, you know, what it may mean to me. I can't develop the property. Just because I can't develop the property doesn't necessarily mean that it was a topographical or whatever. So, you know, those are those kinds of issues. So, I think it's a good discussion. I think that legal needs to, you know, give us their insight into it and advise us in the process.
And well, thank you. Great comments by all. So, Kelly, do you have enough feedback from the commission to report to wherever it's going to be reported to, planning committee or stuff?
I wasn't intended to report it to anywhere until y'all kind of make the final decision.
Would staff need some type of motion of, or how would you like to proceed, Ms. Baglini?
Well, if some direction, you can do it by motion if you just want to direct and guide, and we can put together at least what it's going to look like.
Why don't we ask staff to I think we're pretty much all in unison here on what we've all said. We're open to some type of, please correct me, we're open to some type of appeal process in limited scope. We're not open to appealing construction standards and road standards and things like that. We're asking for some type of definition on extreme hardship to clearly state what that is. What else are we missing?
I think, just to clarify, one point of that is not being flexible, on the standard that allows for development of property, but not necessarily the type of
what they want.
What they want the property. So maybe that's the line that we can start with.
And I'd like Mr. McNeil's comment about the appeal process to the Planning Commission. If there's standards in there to bring something back, an additional fact that's come up there, I think that's a wonderful idea. Maybe we incorporate that as part of the appeal process. Some new event that's come up or some change. The lot's no longer underwater. I mean, whatever it could be. And then, Elise, did I miss anything out of your comments? Did you, something about the historical?
Well, I was just thinking about things like, a lot of our conversation, we're thinking about developers who are going to come and try to eke out every last thing, which is happening with the market being what it is. But I also like that it appears that the planning staff is thinking, is there a way that the current language is constraining the ability to get a really great result from a planning perspective? And in some cases, if we think that we can improve the safety or the natural features or the historical character, though in those instances, I think that would be compelling if we can put conditions to have those. Yeah, so it's more to... especially on infill, when you have the constraints that are in place, it would make it, you know, the idea was good if it was a new development, but it doesn't work for the...
So unless we miss something, if we direct staff to not only report back to us with some type of potential filing, but I see why not, please make sure you share this discussion topics or our findings with planning committee. See if they have additional items of concern or things to add in, and put it on our next agenda or whatever needs to be done to move forward.
Okay, just to make sure I'm clear. So what I'm hearing is for the current appeal process related to blocks and lots, we need to define hardship, come up with some suggestions based on your conversation. And then an appeals process, it sounds like y'all don't want to do one for the entire chapter.
No.
So there are different sections in it, and as we pointed out in the staff report, what we've been hearing has to do with the street stuff. So it would be limited to those standards in the street section that are not related to construction of the road. Okay, everybody right. Seems to be yep. Nodding. So just those two sections.
Well, one question on that is the question of like permeability. That would be...
That's in the construction standard.
I mean, I'll go with the group, I guess, but I feel like if it was tight enough from what we could review...
Well, various design elements. I mean, there are kind of two aspects to it. Kevin can help me know. Geometry, which is the dimensional aspects.
And then the construction.
And then there are the detail aspects like base course and pavement.
I wouldn't have a problem. It's just... my one vote. I don't have a problem with looking at the solution that we came up with the applicant for 4th Avenue if we had another piece of property like that, because then that falls right into your category of historical preservation and making the area better. There might be something back on Live Oak Drive or something like that if somebody was to buy a bunch of lots back there and redesign some streets. But if we made Elise's comment a condition that the overall big picture of the development was taken into context, it would, you know, maybe we would entertain road construction or radiuses and materials. I wouldn't have a problem. You have to qualify it by her comment of saying, hey, we're going to make this project better if we do that.
I kind of have a little problem with putting an appeals process in the construction standards.
I was going to say that, and I need Kevin to confirm, but 4th Avenue, I think the pavement still met our standards. It was allowed to have a varying width, and it was actually offset within the right-of-way to avoid the trees, but it was actually still paved.
The standards were still there.
Was that the similar treatment that Danny Forsberg did with the Beach Street extension?
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, this is...
Yeah, maintenance is going to be our number one issue when it comes to constructability. Public Service Department, that's what they're going to be honing in on, making sure that when we turn the infrastructure over to Public Service Department, the streets have an expected lifespan of at least 20 years before it needs to be resurfaced. Like I said, the dimensions, geometry, things like that.
Let's just take the road construction piece out then.
Yeah.
Is that fine, Dan? Let's just take the road construction piece out and not worry about it. I think that solves a better problem.
Why
would you want to get into any of the construction standards? I'm not an engineer. I'm not a contractor. I mean, you've got standards that are written. Those are meet code, I'm assuming, that that's what we're asked for. So what I would suggest is if you're going to do it, that the exception be that there is no appeal process to construction standards. whether it's put 2x6 or 2x4, that's not, that shouldn't be our value.
Yeah.
So I think that you can write an appeal process, certainly, and all you do is you accept, you know, all the building standards. Well, there is no appeal process for the building standard. I mean, I don't know why we want to, talk about opening Pandora's box, and said, oh, that's crazy. Because unless you're going to put an engineer on staff up here in the commission, that somebody's going to, leave you here all the time, but
they are.
You're, that's, yeah. You want to see appeals. I mean, somebody will say, I don't agree with the road density or something like that. What the hell do we have any business with that?
I agree. Yeah, we have a lot of traffic experts that come every meeting anyway.
Well,
okay, so Kelly, are we fine? Kelly, are we fine with that direction then? Okay. All right, then the last thing I overlooked was I wanted to thank Mr. Chapman and the rest of the commission for last month's meeting where I was absent and you ran, but I understand it was a wonderful meeting. So thank you for sharing in my absence. I appreciate it. I'm trying not to miss too many more.
Just one final comment.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say to you guys that I may or may not be here next month or subsequent months, depending on the outcome of the election. So if the outcome is what I'm hoping for, and I'd like the council, then this will be my last meeting. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. It's been 6 years on the commission, and it's been a pleasure, and also the staff as well. And if things don't turn out that I'm on council, then I will see you here in November.
For the remainder of your 2-year sentence.
Yes. Good luck.
All right, good luck. Thank you very much. We are adjourned. Thank you, staff. How about that? That's a record.